Reading the letter dates from 1921. In this work, Picasso may have depicted himself next to his friend, the poet Guillaume Apollinaire, who died in 1918. The two huge bodies seem weighed down by their own clothes and made of the same material as the stone depicted at their feet. The still life, with hat and book in the foreground, accentuates the stasis of the composition. To lose Apollinaire was to lose one of his greatest friends, one of his closest supporters. Through Braque, who was wounded in the head, and Cendrars, who lost his hand, Picasso maintained a contact with the front, albeit from a distance. Around 1923, Picasso was seduced by another circle, André Breton's group, made up of adherents of the Dada school, thanks to whom he rediscovered his original environment, familiar to him, that of the poets. He also drew closer to the surrealists. In reality, his Still Life on the Dresser of 1919 had tones close to the circle of Éluard and the others. It is an oil on canvas where the whole, from the objects to the colours, convey a dreamlike mood. In 1920, the Dadaists observed, from the fragile and delicate, almost transparent portraits of his early days, Picasso drew details and fragments that he twisted until he bound them together again in his new painting. The old methods of the trade seemed worn out. Something radically new was being prepared. Annie Cohen-Solal notes that Picasso, for his part, contributed to the surrealist movement through his creation of extravagant anthropomorphic shapes, mineral women turned geometric and transformed into dinosaurs with tiny heads and enormous limbs. For the surrealists, Pablo became an icon because he was so close to their ideas. They were subversive, politicized, and disgusted by the carnage of the First World War. Then, little by little, Dalí, Miró, Giacometti also joined the chorus to celebrate the Picasso passion. But Picasso approached surrealist poetics through the mediation of primitive art. Indeed, he had a collection, a Greber mask from the Ivory Coast, a Mukuyi mask from Gabon, a Nimba mask from Guinea, a statue from the Sepik lowlands of New Guinea, a bronze head from the ancient kingdom of Benin. In Paris, the artists of the young generation had only discovered the artist in passing. Les Demoiselles d'Avignon, for instance, had been presented for the first time at the Salon d'Antin in August 1916 on the initiative of André Salmon. The public was then able to see the costumes and sets produced for the Ballet Russe and La Cigale and some paintings exhibited in Parisian galleries, for example by the Rosenberg brothers in 1919. Finally, between 1920 and 1923, during the auction sales of the Canweiler confiscation, astonished, the poets Breton, Aragon, and Éluard discovered the cubist works sold off by Picasso that had reappeared amid settling of scores and tensions 10 years after being seized. By June 1930, Picasso was a wealthy artist, as his works were selling very well in the United States and his investments in France were masterfully orchestrated. He was thus able to buy an 18th-century manor house in Bois Guilupe, Normandy. It was not just a question of a change of residence. There was more to it than that. Picasso needed to enlarge his space in order to experiment with many different solutions, from painting to sculpture to engraving to working with iron. He met a woman, Marie-Thérèse Walter, who inspired him to create works of powerful eroticism, particularly around the figure of his double, the Minotaur. This became a very important element in his artistic production, both because it linked him to his Spanish roots and because it combines myth and archaism. He experimented, tested, broadened horizons. Later, the birth of his daughter, Maya, in 1935, marked the definitive break with his wife, Olga Kokhlova. France, in the interwar period, was a victorious but wounded country, characterized by a wave of xenophobia that fueled mistrust of foreigners intent on ruining French taste. And Picasso was not immune to this. Some considered him a charismatic leader, others a foreigner, and all the more so as he was required to have an identity card for foreigners since the 2nd of April 1917. Picasso was adulated by Breton and Éluard, Miró and Dalí, but still despised by the institutions. As of 1931, the stamp on Picasso's identity card branded him as Spanish. This is why the purchase of Guadeloupe marked a crucial stage in Picasso's career. It was the first house he owned on French soil. Starting in the 1930s, Pablo began the Buste et Tête de Femme series, inspired by the features of his companion Marie-Thérèse. Bust of the Woman, Marie-Thérèse, which took several months to model in plaster, is one of the first two works in this series in which the artist approaches his model with anatomical freedom. The nose, the eyes, and the nape of the neck are all elements in the round that are disassembled and reassembled. Unlike some works in the series in which Picasso breaks the organic continuity to the point of abstraction, the expanded volumes of the Buste de Femme are part of a compact whole that produces simplicity and harmony. In its rhythmic composition, the bust is reminiscent of certain examples of African statuary, in particular the large Nimba shoulder mask from the artist's personal collection, and now in the Musée National Picasso, Paris.